Do you have moments in your life where you go, okay, I did a start over, I did a redo? Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Miranda Moments, where I take a moment to dive a little bit deeper with a guest. And today we are jumping in with the wonderful Drake Bell. Hello, Drake.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome to Miranda Moments. I would like to talk about starting over today because I love a redo. Do you have moments in your life where you go, okay, I did a start over, I did a redo?
Yeah, I think life completely. It's strange because we're in such a cancel culture. We're in such a like, oh, you made a mistake or something happened, and it's like that's going to define you for the rest of your life. It's just so strange because everyone in life makes mistakes. Everyone has these moments where they're like, they've lost everything, and they're there's how are they ever going to continue or move on? And they need to, you know, and it's like need to reinvent themselves or need to discover themselves or find what. You know, it's like for me, like what was going on for so many years, being held inside and all of that. So I think that there's a constant reinvention.
Do you think that the public actually allows people, though, when you're talking about like cancel culture, and if you are, as you are, like a person who was a child star who was on such an iconic show, do you think the public actually allows you to reinvent yourself? Or is that truly a personal journey? And then you just have to hope that people can kind of like accept and follow suit.
I think there's both. I mean, I think that there's definitely a commercial aspect to, you know, I was Ziggy Stardust on my last album. So this album, I'm going to reinvent myself and I'm going to do something differently artistically and do this thing. And, you know, or a Miley Cyrus, you know, total 180. The public does allow for that, but I think usually only when it's like a massive dramatic change, you know. I think that's why people like JoJo Siwa or something just feels like, you know, oh, it has to be some unbelievable dramatic change to be accepted by the public. Otherwise it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be seen as a reinvention, or I'm not going to be taken seriously as an adult if I don't completely change and reinvent myself. I think that that's what the public accepts. Like, I think it's harder for an artist to be in a show like a Disney show or a Nick show and then kind of just remain that person and be, hey, this is who I am and this is the music I make and this is it.
Yeah.
It's like you have to come out and be like
super
rebellious. And like, you know, rip my pants off and dance with, you know.
I think it's also really interesting for somebody like you, though, when you also have your same name as a character, to then separate even further. Because it's like when you are that famous and then you're on a show that has a character that is your name, that to then try and like get out of that box.
Well, I was so lucky that the Drake character was literally me. Like, I always think about that, like, what if I played a character that was so different and that's what people knew? But, you know,
it was you.
That was me. There's all those are things that I would have said. That was my sense of humor. I was a singer, songwriter, guitar player. Those were my clothes. You know, I basically chose what I like to wear on, you know, and so luckily when people are like, hey, Drake, it really is like,
you.
They know me.
Yeah.
It's not like they're like, hey, Uncle Jesse. And I'm like, oh, but I'm actually this other guy that you don't know who I really am.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Or calling me by my character name and I'm a totally different person. So I was really fortunate in the fact that they basically wrote the Drake character as who I was. So I just showed up and said words. I didn't even have to really act or anything. I felt so bad for Josh because Josh was not so much similar to his character.
Oh,
you know?
Really?
No, I mean, Josh was not like, hey, how do you look at, you know, so high strung. And no, Josh was like laid back, chill, cool. And so I think he had to stretch his acting muscle a little bit more. And I felt so bad because I was like, oh, man. I just show up and talk.
You're just you. Yeah.
I'm like, man, I feel so, what a bummer. He's like, you taking this too seriously, bro? He's like, no, but I have to do things. You're just talking. Like, yeah, true.
Don't be jealous, Josh.
Yeah.
When you recently moved, or is it recent now that you moved to Mexico? It's been a couple years.
2 years ago, yeah.
What was the impetus and also changing your name to?
No.
It's not
okay.
Really a name
Here's
change, right?
Okay. Here's the thing with the name change.
Thank you. Help me.
So I was on the airplane and I thought it would be really funny to, like, really funny. To just change my name on my Instagram from Drake Bell to Drake Campana, which just means Campana is just bell in Spanish.
Spanish.
It just means bell in Spanish.
Okay.
And so I just did it on my Instagram just as a joke, right?
It was
a
really
lot
funny.
Of my fans from Mexico got it and like thought it was funny. They're like, "Oh, ha ha ha, look, he put Campana, like, oh, he's really Mexican now. Like, oh, he just changed his name, like he's really like, oh, when's he going to get his DNA? When's he going to get his, you know, citizenship, blah blah blah." Like, they all knew it was a joke. Here?
No.
Here? I escaped and ran to Mexico and changed my name. I mean, these are major publications writing this, okay?
Yeah,
I mean, this is the New York Times.
She has shit else to do.
Okay?
Wow.
I escaped, ran away to Mexico, changed my name because of everything that I've been going through in the United States. Wow. I'm like, are you... It was a joke on Instagram. And I ran away and escaped to Mexico and changed my name and legally changed my name. It's like, are you really? I'm like, Campana is it's a joke.
It's literally,
it's
just
a joke.
Spanish.
Yeah, it's a joke. Like, okay.
Oh my God, we're too serious here.
Yeah, that they.
I know that you moved to a new country, but in the process of starting over, do you think there's a difference between healing and hiding? And if so, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think that it's interesting because I think that prior to everyone thinking that I was like escaping and running somewhere to hide, I was actually hiding prior to that. And it was everything that was going on emotionally and inside and things that I've been hiding my whole life and things that I had not talked about or shared with the world. And
yeah, you were hiding in plain sight.
Talk about in the public. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's, you know, I'm the first to say, look, you can't like escape. You can't run from your problems. You know, it's like, you're going to, wherever you go,
you're there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you're not going to move to another country or move to another state or move and all of a sudden everything get okay. But sometimes there are times when your environment is contributing to whatever is affecting you, right? So there is some times where you do have to say like, okay, you know what? Change of scenery. Like, I need new friends. I need new environment. Just something fresh to just like start new, start fresh, get a new routine, get a new thing, start feeling healthy, start getting up earlier in the morning, start doing the gym more, start eating. It's just all of that stuff starts to come into play. And then naturally a change happens and occurs. But I don't think that necessarily it's always like, I'm going to reinvent myself now.
Yeah,
it's sort
no,
of like
it,
a journey and a discovery
totally.
Of like, whoa, I've made these, you know, these different choices. Like, I've made a left instead, I usually make a right. Oh, I went straight, I usually go backwards. Like, you make just these little changes that you've like consciously made all of a sudden group together to where later on you're going, oh wow, I'm like in a good place. I'm happy. My job is where I want it to be. My relationships are where I want it to be. I'm getting quality time with the people that I want to spend it with, and I'm able to carve that out of my work schedule, and I'm able to keep, and all of a sudden these things just start coming in, like, oh, I like the people I work with, oh, I like the things, and you're just like, oh, but that's because of these all these little choices
small,
that you were making on the way
steps.
There.
Yeah,
I don't think that there's sitting in front of the mirror and going, oh my gosh, I have to reinvent myself and this is how I'm going to do it, right? You know, it's like,
yeah,
just
it's more
noticing, okay,
than
hey,
that.
If I wake up earlier, I'll probably show up soon. I'll probably show up on time places and I'll probably be more alert if I don't stay up too late. Oh, you know, okay, I'll change that behavior. Oh, you know what? I'm going to stop drinking because when I drink, these things happen and I get okay, common denominator is drinking, that these things happen. Okay, well, then I'll eliminate that. Well, then all of a sudden, 3 months later, you're going, whoa. look at this. Like, I've got this, I've got this, I've got this. I can show up for this. I can work late and I can get up early. Oh, it's because I'm not hungover. Oh, it's because I'm not exhausted. Oh, it's because I'm not, oh, I can get off on an airplane and go straight to the show and play the show and then get on an airplane at 6 a.m. the next day. Oh, because I'm not exhausted, because I'm not beating my body down. I'm able to do this. And so it's like, but these little changes, these little things, and all of a sudden you start to realize, like, oh my gosh, I've like totally reinvented myself. Mm-hmm. But it has to be like, it's like, what about Bob? You know, it's like baby steps, baby steps out the office, baby steps to the elevator. It's like, you know.
It is really baby steps. And I think that that's actually the way that it becomes sustainable too. I think that if we try and make these massive changes really quickly, mm-hmm. it's almost like we shock ourselves and then we just fall back into our old patterns. Yeah. And it's really important to actually take the time to baby step yourself mm-hmm. in, become comfortable, adjust to a new energy, and then the energy also follows you. So you start building a momentum, but it's very challenging.
Well, speaking of coming out of like into sobriety or something like that, you also are now in a new brain. Like a cloud free, fog free brain. And now you're like, oh, okay. Now I have to kind of learn myself too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like mm-hmm. a whole thing of, so you, it does, it, there is a shock when it comes to.
Totally.
If there's substances involved in the reinvention of your life, you know, cutting that out of your life, that you can have the shock of like, how do I act in public? How do I interact with people? How do I like, so you got to figure all that stuff out too. And then, you know, that's a whole reinvention process.
I think the idea of starting over in life or reinventing yourself can come with you wherever you go in whatever chapter of life you're in. And I think that just also comes with growth. And there's the little things, right? Like, oh, okay, I'm going to redo. I don't like how I look in this video. I'm going to redo a TikTok video. There's like that version of starting over. But then there really is this starting over that comes from understanding yourself more, becoming more mature, learning what does and doesn't work for you. And it's kind of cool that we have the ability to do that in our lives.
Yeah, and I think too, like, with the way that the public, like, starting out, I mean, you think about people in your life, you know, who have, say you got, you know, there's like always a bad apple in the family, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, God, if Jimmy could just get his act together, if, you know.
Damn it, Jimmy!
You know, it's like, how many people in your life have redeemed themselves for something? Or you have an alcoholic brother who hasn't drank for 18 years and has a great family and, you know, but man, 18 years ago.
Yeah, he was a mess.
Dude, don't even want him in the family,
right,
you know?
Right.
Now, if everyone in the public would think about that person in their family and then apply that to the celebrity.
Yeah.
Right? And then apply that to that person. Like, do you really want your brother when he was 22 and did that really stupid thing, but now he's 35 and it, like, you want that 22 thing to what defines him.
Yeah.
That's who he is. That's what he is. Like, I mean, I'm not talking about murdering or raping or doing, I'm not talking about things that you should be put away and slung up for, but
no, I hear you.
But what I'm saying is, like, there's got to be room for redemption and there's got to be room for reinvention and rehabilitation. Yeah. And because otherwise we're all doomed.
1,000%.
Everyone's doomed.
Yeah.
Pick up throw the first stone.
Exactly. And that's why we have to give each other more grace too.
Yeah.
Because we're so quick to judge. And Raven and I talk about cancel culture a lot because I think that there's such an opportunity for learning and growth. And instead, oftentimes, we just condemn and judge and then decide to disregard people. And it's not really fair, especially, I think, in the public eye, to throw humans who make human error. And some are more egregious than others, and I get that.
Of course.
But, like, I think that it's kind of like, okay, now that this actor did this bad thing or made a mess or was struggling with addiction.
Take Paul Rubens, for example, right? I mean, the documentary just came out, and you know, what he got arrested for was so, like, vanilla.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't hurt anybody. It was by himself. Like, there was nothing, but the way that it was portrayed in the public was all of a sudden, Pee Wee Herman wants to hurt kids.
Right.
All of a sudden, Pee Wee Herman is, and you know, the Paul Reumann's documentary at the end, he's talking about how that affected him and made him feel like, you know, the entire world thinks that you're something that you're not. The entire world turns this thing into something that it isn't. And it's incredible because when you look back on something like the Paul Reumann story, because that was 91, this is pre-social media, this is pre, you know, one day you're America's sweetheart, you're on top of the world, and you have anonymity, right? Yeah. Like, nobody knows who Paul Reumann is. Everyone just knows who Pee Wee Herman is.
Right, right.
Well, one morning, in Sarasota, he gets arrested for something so mundane, nothing violent, nothing hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. And now he's Paul Reumann, Pee Wee Herman, wants to hurt kids, is disgusting, is a sicko, is a predator, is a deviant, and it just
destroys.
Absolutely, completely destroyed not only his legacy and his everything, but when you watch the documentary and you hear him talking about it, it destroyed his life.
Yeah.
I mean, it destroyed his life.
Yeah.
For something that everybody does behind closed doors every single day.
Yeah.
Like,
truly.
Like, in between the toilet and the shower, everyone does it. But now your entire legacy is destroyed.
Mm-hmm. I know. I find it, I don't even know really what to say, because I feel like it's just such a, it's such a representation of where human beings are so flawed. Mm-hmm. We all understand what it means to say something you didn't mean to mean to say. We all understand having bad days. We all understand, you know, being behind the wheel of a car and feeling anger and saying something that you wouldn't want to be caught on camera.
Yeah.
And it's wild to me that if a person who is a public person slips up one time and says something, that we are just so quick to attack, that we don't first go, oh, human error. It happens. I can relate. I've done it. We just want to, like, you know, claw
now, in. Obviously, there's moments where an outburst can show you someone's true colors.
1,000%.
Right?
Yes.
You know, I mean, there are some times where there are certain things that people do or say or something where you're kind of like, That wasn't a moment of anger. That was a is showing you who you are.
But there's information and indication. Like, I'm thinking of like Russell Crowe or like Christian Bale, who've had these like very public outbursts where they're so angry.
Yeah.
But then you have to go, okay, what would cause a person to do that?
Yeah.
They're probably exhausted. They probably don't have their needs met. They're probably completely repressed in their own psychology. They're like, there's so much more.
Well, the other thing too that, I mean, and I don't want to like be like, you don't get what acting's hard, you know, but
it is
when you're shooting a movie like Terminator and you're doing an 18-hour day after they pushed your call, you got wrapped at 4 a.m. You had to show up at set at 7:30. You're in all of this crazy outfit. They're spraying you with stuff, putting dirt, mud all over your face. You've got these big guns on and you're doing this heavy duty scene where you're so in it and you're this and this and this. And someone's going do on their phone.
Yeah.
Like, while this whole production, everyone's supposed to be taking this seriously. This is your everything going. So I could understand, like,
being triggered,
you know,
by
or
that.
I've been doing a movie where I'm in full superhero, you know, Superman kind of style costume and hanging upside down with the pouring rain on me, getting the rain in my nose, like not being able to breathe, like choking and being like, guys, are we rolling? Are we going to do this yet? Like, and hanging upside down, losing to the. And but when you see it on screen, it kind of, everything just moves so smoothly and looks like they don't realize, like, I was hanging upside down like that for like 2.5 hours.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And pouring rain and the fake rain on me and the thing and in this weird costume trying to get down, you know.
That's
and
the
I know
illusion.
It sounds like, okay, what a struggle. I get it. Like, wah, wah, wah. But you can get frustrated.
But that is a struggle in and of itself. And I think that that's where when people start categorizing things and going like, oh, well, you think you're struggling, but you're getting – and I'm the one struggling because I am dealing with like X amount of people because I work at a grocery store and whatever – comparing is not going to help. Raven and I shot a short, and I am not an actor, but I acted in this film. And I will tell you that there was a pool scene, and what I realized – over the week of shooting this short, having to jump in the water, freezing water, mm-hmm. jump out, jump in, jump out, mm-hmm. get my breath. No one cared that I was actually physically struggling. It was like, we have to get the take. The light is moving. Miranda, hurry. Miranda, try. And unfortunately, where your scenes then ended up looking flawless and beautiful, mine didn't, because I was physically...
I cut it out.
I know. It was horrible. But by the end of it, I kid you not, I was like, I didn't care about my body. Everyone on that set had seen me naked.
Yep.
I was just like an object. And my body was just here to be used. And I was holding breath here and moving here and laying in a bed like this for 50. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have so much more compassion and empathy for what actors do, because it isn't easy.
It's so funny. Like, you could have a wide shot. It's a wide shot. And the scene is, it's pouring rain. It's a period piece. The house is here, and the horse and buggy are here, and the family is running in the rain and loading up the horse and the buggy in the rain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you watch that as a spectator, and you're just like, oh, okay.
Easy.
Okay. Well, the actors pan out. It's Canada. It's Calgary. It's freezing cold.
Right.
The entire surrounding is ice and snow.
Yeah.
They've cleared out this certain area to make it look like the summertime. They're pouring rain. You're in clothes from the 1800s. This wool and these things. You know, there's a period piece.
Actual.
And then you're having to carry bales of hay and straw and bright bags of rice.
Yeah.
And run on in the mud. All the way to this, and like actually do this physical labor and like running through while everyone is in tents with parkas, hot cocoa,
Video Village heaters,
and monitors going, does it look real enough to you? Does that look real?
Let's do it one more time.
I think I can see the snow. Go put more hot water on the snow. What about the actors? Don't worry about it. They're fine.
I know.
It's like, what?
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
But I feel like sometimes when I complain about that, it's so annoying.
Don't...
It's like, you don't know how acting is so hard. Do you know that sometimes I have to pretend to be cold when it's hot? And sometimes I have to pretend to be hot when it's cold.
Now it's time for me to read you your Miranda rights. You have the right to remain silent, or you can answer truthfully. Either way, your responses will probably be used against you in the comment section. I'm going to ask you a few guilty or not guilty questions. Guilty or not guilty? You've forgotten the words to one of your own songs while performing.
Every day, all the time. My fans literally say, if you go to a Drake Bell show and he doesn't forget half the lyrics, did you really go to a Drake Bell show?
Ooh, I love that. Okay, so guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty or not guilty? You've occasionally caught a Drake and Josh rerun and laughed at your own jokes.
Guilty.
Guilty or not guilty? You've Googled symptoms and convinced yourself it's something serious.
Guilty.
Me too.
Guilty.
Guilty or not guilty? You have said, I found a way in conversation just to see if anyone notices.
Guilty.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so cool. Drake, thank you so much. This has been so fun. Thank you for watching this episode of Miranda Moments. Make sure to catch the full episode of Tea Time with Drake this Thursday. Bye, everybody.